You know, The Rock, whenever he comes back to WWE, it's such a special moment. And this one was no different, as The Rock has returned to Monday Night Raw, and he said some exciting things that all of us have been wanting since 2020, or 2020, however that you want to call it. And The Rock has told people that he wants to sit at the head of the table. Much more news here on the Pardon the Pipe Bomb podcast.
In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb.
I have a dream, that's all I need. I'll make it happen with someone who can believe. Know what I want, so I'll take it on. I'll make mistakes, but mistakes make you strong. Let's break it down for
And guys, it is true. It is damn true. The Rock has, you know, pulled our strings as of the last couple of years. All of us wanted to have the Rock and Roman Reigns feud to start. People wanted Roman Reigns to dethrone The Rock from his head of the table, so to speak. He's gone through everybody besides The Rock, and all of us wanted this to happen a couple years ago, and now they're finally doing it. They're finally doing The Rock versus Roman Reigns. People are saying it could be at WrestleMania. People are saying that it could be at the next Elimination Chamber match because they've already got it set in stone for the Royal Rumble coming up. But is it too little too late for The Rock and Roman Reigns? Because even though that it was awesome to see The Rock return to Monday Night Raw, we can't forget that he's getting older, man. He's 51 now, I believe. I mean, I can search it right now, but I'm pretty certain that The Rock is over the age of 50. He looked out of breath. I mean, he's probably not in ring shape, but you know, he's in incredible shape. He's always in the gym. He's half the reason why I go into the gym. But The Rock, he has returned, and he teases a match with Roman Reigns. And Monday Night Raw was no short of a great show all around. They started off hot with Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. I didn't really watch it till like the last 5-10 minutes. And dude, Nia Jax probably has herself her first great match in WWE. But going from that, and Rhea Ripley defending her title, and Seth Rollins defending his title in a great main event against Drew McIntyre. Monday Night Raw was a great show, and having The Rock on it, I guarantee that they had 2.5 million viewers tuning in on Monday Night Raw. But this is going after days after speculation of the former WWE champion that he was going to be teased by Triple H. And they started off with a segment that here is the former WWE champion making his return, and it was Jinder Mahal. I thought Triple H did a great job getting us saying, oh, shit, it's just Jinder Mahal. He fucking trolled us. But me, I kind of figured that, you know, with everything that was surfacing on Instagram, that The Rock was meeting with somebody. He was on College Game Day, but in the background of the photo was Nick Khan. And everybody just put two and two together. And since Triple H probably saw that on social media, he probably was like, all right, let's not do it right away. Let's downgrade it and let's have people think, oh, well, this is what he meant. He fucking trolled us. What an asshole. And then before we knew, The Rock came out and the crowd went nuts. And Jinder Mahal and The Rock had a good promo going back and forth, with The Rock calling Jinder Mahal the biggest asshole walking green, the biggest asshole walking God's green earth. And then The Rock had the fans chanting, day one douchebag. It was all fun and all that. This went on for about 10 minutes. And as it ended, him and like Jinder Mahal, they went at it. The Rock gave Jinder Mahal the people's elbow, out of breath. And then I was like, okay, well, what was the point in that? Where is this going? I don't understand what's happening here. And then The Rock, after when he beat up Jinder Mahal, he grabs the microphone and tells the people that he loves them and Happy New Year. He also said that, you know, he's hungry and plans to get something to eat. I thought that he was going to go with, hey, San Diego, where's the best place in town that I can go get a grab to eat? But then he asked if he should sit in a booth. People didn't really like react to it. Then he asked, should he sit at the bar? People, obviously, they reacted to it because who doesn't love sitting at a bar? And then the moment that I actually had a jaw-dropping moment was when he asked, or should I sit at the head of the table? The crowd went nuts. Everyone on social media, well, mostly on Twitter X, was already speculating, okay, this is it. We're finally getting it. We're finally getting the WrestleMania match of The Rock and Roman Reigns that we all been clamoring for years. Me, my personal opinion, that ship has already sailed because we already got storylines between Roman Reigns and The Rock, Roman Reigns and Randy Orton, Roman Reigns and AJ Styles. Everybody's saying that they want to finish their story. But really, it's mostly about Cody Rhodes finishing his story. And it's Cody Rhodes' place in line that he should main event WrestleMania against Roman Reigns. Because, dude, I thought about this. I thought, you know, have The Rock and Roman Reigns face each other at night one of WrestleMania. Have Roman Reigns beat The Rock, making him more credible and more godly than he already is. But also, on night two, when he faces Cody Rhodes for the Universal World Champion, then if Cody Rhodes beats Roman Reigns, it's more believable and it's a more battered down Roman Reigns, and Cody Rhodes would be more believable him beating Roman Reigns here. But the more I thought about it, then what about Punk and Seth Rollins? Because I think we all know that Seth Rollins and CM Punk are going to face each other at WrestleMania. It is a big enough match and a big enough stage where that could just draw so much money. WWE doesn't need The Rock to main event WrestleMania. They're going to be going to Australia to hold a premium live event and hold over 60,000 people. That is a WrestleMania type of atmosphere, if you like it or not. I know that we're all accustomed to having over 90, 80,000 people in attendance for a WrestleMania event. Nothing will ever touch the Dallas WrestleMania, where they reached over 100,000 fans or something like that. I don't remember. But having The Rock and Roman Reigns face each other off at the Elimination Chamber makes sense. There was somewhere that I read that Australia wants to have a big draw name to have people come out and be a big attraction and have eyes on Australia to showcase their city. Well, WWE, you have your answer. It's The Rock. It has to be The Rock and Roman Reigns. If Roman Reigns beats The Rock and goes on into WrestleMania as still the WWE champion, then still, Roman Reigns is going to be on God mode than he already is right now. It only makes sense for Roman Reigns to keep the title, and some people are pushing the narrative that WWE wants Roman Reigns to surpass Hulk Hogan because of the shit that he did in his personal time. That has nothing to do with the WWE ring. I'm not the only one that is a WWE or a pro wrestling fan. My best friend Matt, he is only a wrestling fan because of Hulk Hogan. You can't take that away from Hulk Hogan. A lot of wrestlers today are in the business because of Hulk Hogan. You can't take it away from him. WWE, they possibly want to do it, but I know a lot of people on Twitter, they have the agenda that this is what they're going to plan on doing. They're going to keep the title on Roman Reigns all the way up until SummerSlam. But the only person that can take this title off of Roman Reigns is Cody Rhodes. And in my personal opinion, I cannot sit back and watch this story unfold of having Cody Rhodes in the mid-card title or like the mid-card matches and just biding his time until he faces Roman Reigns. I can't wait any longer. He's going to lose momentum. There's nobody else that Roman Reigns can face right now in WWE. Maybe Cody, or maybe CM Punk, maybe Seth Rollins, but that will, I don't think that either of them can afford to take that type of loss. The only one right now to defeat Roman Reigns is Cody Rhodes, and it has to happen at WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. That's my take on it. It can't be having The Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. It has to happen at the Elimination Chamber premium live event. That's just my take on it. And we also got a couple other decent breaking news type of thing here on the podcast. In Velveteen Dream, he's making headways in the social media world by posting a 3-minute, almost a 4-minute video of himself explaining why he did what he did and apologizing to the fans, to his friends and family. But to give you a little backstory, if nobody knows, Velveteen Dream, known as Patrick Clark, he was accused of having inappropriate contact with minors in 2020. He had originally put out a statement noting that he was working with authorities to resolve the situation, leading to him being used only a few times on NXT TV. His last match coming up against Adam Cole in December of 2020, then Patrick Clark also had backstage heat with several people in the NXT due to his behavior before he was released in 2021. He was later arrested on August 26, 2022, after his previous arrest on August 20th for misdemeanor battery and trespassing charges, as the August 26th arrest was due to an out-of-county warrant related to the possession of drug paraphernalia. That can mean anything, but basically all that Velveteen Dream was doing, he was apologizing on Instagram. He posted it on Twitter, I believe, as well. And him saying that he's sorry and he hopes that the fans and friends and family can accept the apology, it looks like that he actually meant it. It seemed sincere, but he's still young. He could be welcomed back with open arms if everything gets resolved. But as of right now, I don't know what his future holds with the WWE. I don't know if any pro wrestling company will take him under their wing because of all the allegations and what he, you know, kind of represents for himself. I mean, it's one thing when CM Punk had backstage heat, but, you know, he didn't have these type of charges on him where he was inducing on minors. Now, I know the minor thing could mean he was having a sexual relation with a 17-year-old, or he could have a sexual relation with a 16-year-old. No matter what, it doesn't make it any better what he was doing. Now, I'm going to turn to AEW here again. Mercedes Moné. Originally, her and AEW were not in talks anymore. They fell through. Then she went to WWE. They had talks, and she wanted a X amount of dollar signs. Those plans fell through solely because, I believe, of Charlotte Flair's contract, and probably Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné wanted the same amount or even maybe more because she feels that she is a bigger star and bigger draw than Charlotte Flair, which, in my personal opinion, I think that she is a better performer than Charlotte Flair, but she's not the a high caliber as Charlotte Flair solely because Charlotte Flair is a daughter of Ric Flair. But you can expect to hear a lot about the signings in the coming weeks here and maybe months, but because there are so many pro wrestlers on the free agent market, but several of those names don't really come to the same level as Mercedes Moné. The former WWE Women's Champion Sasha Banks, as everybody knows her as, her status has been up in the air because of her ankle injury, but at one point, like I said, it was believed that she was AEW bound. And like I said, back in August for All in London, those plans fell through. And so now she went to WWE. Like I said, those plans, they fell through too. But it is reported now that AEW has signed Mercedes Moné. Now, let me just give you my little insight on it, or opinion. In my opinion, I think Mercedes Moné is a great performer. She's probably going to be the best performer on that AEW women's roster. But any pro wrestler that has gone into the women's division in AEW has not done anything. Tony Khan has done a very poor job in booking for AEW women's division. And unless if something changes and if he takes it more seriously, I mean, dude, for God's sakes, at the last pay-per-view event for AEW, it was Toni Storm versus Rhea, or I forget her name. The Chinese girl that won it against King Kong, or whatever her name is. There was no storyline behind it. I tried watching it. I couldn't get behind it. I'm a very classical WWE fan that I love a good story inside the ring. Or outside the ring, I'm sorry. Inside the ring, it's a different story. Pro wrestlers, they can just go off like that and they can get a match and get us sucked in while the match is going on. But I love a little backstory. I love a little, you know, reason why I'm watching this match. And now, Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, she could possibly turn that women's division around. And this is according to Fightful Select here. They reported that notes that industry sources expected her to land there sooner or later. While no one can confirm that she has actually signed a contract yet, and the situation becomes murkier when you consider that recently there have been instances where talent only signs their contract with the promotion on the day of their scheduled debut or return, notably with Will Ospreay with AEW and CM Punk with WWE. However, though, an AEW source did state that Moné and the promotion were very close on coming to an agreement here. So, I don't know how you want to take that. I don't know if Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné is doing what CM Punk did and return on a certain night. But it sounds like that we can assume and only assume that Mercedes Moné is AEW bound and she could probably be there within the next time that they are being televised. I mean, it could happen this Wednesday at AEW Dynamite. Could happen on Friday on Rampage. Could happen on Saturday at Collision. We don't know. We will only know. And Tony Khan, he really doesn't keep his sources tight like WWE does. But if this has been dropped out, and if Fightful Select and Sean Ross Sapp, if he reported it, then all signs might point that she is AEW bound. I really wanted her to go to TNA, but that's just me. I really hope that Mercedes Moné can actually turn that AEW women's division around and kind of create some relevance and some, you know, believable storytelling that some fans can get behind on. I'm going to follow up with some AEW news because, you know, this AEW superstar could be WWE bound, with everybody speculating that he could maybe be a entry at the Royal Rumble That's going to be held this January, January 26th, January 27th. I'm not really too sure. Don't really know the date. That doesn't really matter. But right now, MJF, he may need to have shoulder surgery. And with everything that was going on with MJF, with all the injuries that he was accumulating throughout the last couple months of his title reign, it took a toll on his body. MJF worked the AEW's World's End pay-per-view event injured on Saturday night at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in New York. I don't know where that is. This article that I'm reading is going to be off of WrestlingNews.co. And MJF, he was dealing with a bad shoulder and hip heading into the show with the belief that he would be taking time off coming out of it. So once that got out, everybody knew that he was dropping the title. They just wanted to see what the ending would be and if the devil storyline was going to live up to the hype. But in my personal opinion, I really didn't think it did. Everybody knew that it was Adam Cole. I wish it would have ended a little bit differently. Samoa Joe didn't really give two shits about it, but also that could just be his wrestling personality. So the potential surgery, though, for MJF. While speaking on the Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer noted MJF is debating whether to do rehab or just get surgery straight up. Dave Meltzer said, and I quote, "He is hurt, you know, his shoulder is legitimately hurt. He could come out on Wednesday's Dynamite and do a promo, although I don't think he will. Well, from what I was told, he is either going to have to rehab the shoulder, which is the main problem, or he may need surgery. And just judging from how severe it was, he may need that surgery. And the surgery would put him out for a while. He's still debating on it, and I think it's probably the best thing for him to have the surgery, but it's a long time off. Other guys do that. I mean, it's not like it's the end of the world to take a long time off, but it seems like a lot, you know? I mean, for his career, he's 27 years old. He needs to get the shoulder fixed, and as good as it can be fixed, because you don't want that thing to mess around and for your whole career here," end quote. So, with MJF possibly needing to have surgery, if he does have surgery, then that could mean that he's not going to be an entry in the Royal Rumble, because he's also been cited off of the AEW's roster. That can mean many things. Don't know. In the past, that could really mean that MJF could be without a contract, or maybe Tony Khan is just playing kayfabe with the whole online wrestling thing on AEW, because we know AEW fans are, they're a special group. I mean, I'm not hating on you guys, but AEW fans, yeah, y'all are a little too much into it. It's just wrestling. But that's going to do it for me, guys, and thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast. If you guys liked what you heard, please give me a thumbs up or give me a negative 5-star review on the podcast channel. And if you guys really liked what you heard, please hit that subscribe button. I really appreciate it. And if you give me a negative 5-star review, that really does help the channel and podcast grow. But until next time, guys, that was the news for today. I'll talk to you guys later.